Tango Tango Papa 1943, January 18, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from North Baltimore, Ohio. Had to get the north in there, because there is in fact a Baltimore, Ohio, as well as a Baltimore, Maryland, which thankfully I'm nowhere near there, but North Baltimore, Ohio, not to be confused with Baltimore, Ohio. North Baltimore, Ohio is actually a little bit south of Toledo, whereas Baltimore, Ohio, I looked it up, is actually quite a ways from here. It is somewhat east, and I think a little bit south of the Columbus area, somewhere in that, kind of over in that area. So that's quite a ways from here. So I don't know how the two places ended up with their names, but that's what happened. But there are plenty of cases, especially you get in states like Pennsylvania, and there are some cases where you have two different little towns that have the same name. I've ran into that a few times. I've never really had to go to a place like that, but just looking on the map, if you buy an atlas or a map that has every city or most every city in the state listed. Back in the days when I still used atlases, sometimes I would just be sitting there with nothing else to do, and I just kind of look at the atlas and just kind of look at the different states and maybe read the city names. Those days are long gone. Because I haven't had an atlas now, and at least an interstate road atlas, for years at this point. It's so easy, nowadays, just to you look it up on your smart device, and you've got maps, you've got everything. You've got all the information in the world is literally right at your fingertips. So. Anyhow, it is actually very cold here. I think the last time I looked at the truck thermometer before I stopped here a while ago, it said it was like either 8 or 9 degrees, and I don't know what it's supposed to get down to, but and I think there's a fairly, seemed like, once I got north of the Dayton area ways on Interstate 75, it seemed like the wind picked up. I'm not sure which way it's coming out of, but it did seem like it picked up, because earlier when I was going across Missouri and then Illinois, it was, there was a little bit of a breeze, but it wasn't much. It's been cold. The load I picked up in Dodge City, Kansas, where it was actually fairly warm there. It was in it was warm and it was cool enough to have a coat on, but I think it was in the 40s there. And then made it to Salina, Kansas, and that's where I stopped at, and it was 44 degrees there whenever I stopped, but then it turned cold overnight, and the next day, that would have been Sunday morning, it was probably like 6 degrees, something like that. And Yeah, so I went from Salina, Kansas, and then I stopped in Warrenton, Missouri, and that's where I took my next break at. That was last night. And then now I'm at North Baltimore, Ohio, and the load that I have doesn't deliver until 8 p.m. Tomorrow. So, and I'm about a mile. This truck stop that I'm in a big Petro truck stop. It's about a mile from, or so from where the load delivers tomorrow evening. So I went ahead and just got here now, and then I've got probably end up being sitting here waiting the rest of the day tomorrow. But I'm here and very close to the load, and I don't know. I might check and see if they, or at least check with my company, and see if they have any information. If this company will, you know, if there's any possibility that they would take things earlier than that, but they probably won't. So it's probably not worth the. I don't know if it's worth the trouble or not. So, but it's cold here. There's a little snow. They've received a little bit of snow around here, but it you know, doesn't really amount to anything, especially on the roads. Whatever snow they've got on the roads is long gone, but there's a little bit of snow in this parking lot that I'm in, just very little actually, but I think it was probably where it was kind of protected from the sun today. And then you see just a little bit out on the landscape, just here and there. See just little bits here and there. So, not a whole lot of snow here. But I haven't really been following the weather, but I think other parts of the country probably have received more snow. Just the little bits and bobs that I've heard, it seems like other areas, particularly maybe in the Northeast. Now, when I came through, Buffalo, New York, this has been several days ago, there was a massive lake effect snow that was going on, which is nothing new for Buffalo. It was kind of going on in between, or sort of east of, or actually west of Buffalo, rather. Especially on Interstate 90, the New York State Thruway, or their turnpike, which they don't call it the turnpike, they call it the thruway. And so the Garmin GPS popped up and it said, hey, there's an extreme traffic alert. And usually when it does that, whenever it says that, it means that the traffic has stopped and the snow was coming down like mad. And so it rerouted me, so I ended up getting off of the thruway, and it routed at least up in that area. U.S. Highway 20 parallels Interstate 90. I think Interstate 90 replaced U.S. 20 as the major route, and so it parallels it. And so I got off and went around it, and that actually turned out to be a good move, I think. I was on U.S. Highway 20 for, I don't know, probably 20 or 30 miles. And then I was able to get back on Interstate 90. And then I talked to someone later, and they said that they'd been through I guess they'd gone through that traffic mess. And they said it was a real nightmare. So I'm glad that I went around it. So that's the last thing you want to do, is get caught in non-moving traffic in a lake effect snow near Buffalo, New York. So, but there was right before I got off, there was a car ahead of me. And of course, there was lots of traffic because it was rush hour. And all these people were trying to get home or whatever. And this was after leaving the Buffalo area. There was a car ahead of me, and it was kind of going maybe 15 miles an hour, and the thing was just sliding all over the place. It was ridiculous. So I was able to get around that, and I made the decision I'd just go ahead and take the Garmin's advice and get off, and get on Highway 20 and then, you know, get back on. And so, as I say, that turned out to be a good move. So the Garmin has the FM traffic built in, and usually there's times where it'll say extreme traffic alert and it turns out not to be. Excuse me, but then usually if it says there's an extreme traffic alert, it may mean it. It just depends. But in this case, with the snow coming down, I decided, yeah, I'd probably better go ahead and do that. So while I was, I guess about a month and a half ago now, I think I probably mentioned it before, I ordered a Samsung range, gas cooking range, for home to replace, you know, my 20-year-old cook stove. And the thing ended up getting back ordered. And so they finally... the appliance company finally called me this afternoon, and they said, "Hey, the gas range is here. When do you want to schedule to have us bring it out?" And so I'm due home again on the 24th, which is about actually a week from today, I believe, so about a week away or a little less. So I told them go ahead and schedule it for Monday morning. So they're supposed to come Monday morning at 11 a.m. and bring the new stove. So that's the Monday's the 25th. So I should, if everything goes right, and of course if it doesn't, then I'll call them. But if everything goes right, I should be home by the 24th, and then get that gas range kind of swapped out. And then I have a dental cleaning appointment, I believe, set up for, I believe, early Wednesday morning. I'll have to look at the Google Calendar. But I believe that's when I have it. I think it's early Monday morning. But again, I'll look at that. Early Wednesday morning, rather. So those are really the two things I think that I have set up that I need to do. And then I probably should go ahead and do my driver's license because that expires on my birthday. And so I might as well go ahead and get that taken care of. Now, of course, you know, I have to have that CDL or commercial driver's license. Have to have that, obviously, for my job. That's imperative. Very, very important. And so this time, sometime back, actually, I don't know, months ago now, the state of Arkansas sent a letter saying that, you know, the regulations have changed, and now if you're getting your CDL renewed, you have to bring in a birth certificate. Now, my parents probably have a birth certificate somewhere, but it's kind of all packed away. So I didn't even bother with that. So I went ahead and contacted the county that I was born in, and was able to get a copy of it. And so I've had a copy of it for a number of months, an official copy. So I have that. So I'm already prepared for that. So whenever I go to get the thing renewed, then I'll take that right with me. And I'm prepared, hopefully. So I'll probably go ahead and do that now, just better sooner than later, because you know, birthday is approaching. It's in April, and so we're halfway through January. So I got February, March. So I might go ahead and just go in there and see if I can get it taken care of, see what they say. So let's see, what else? I think I probably talked about buying an Amazon Echo that has the Alexa a digital voice assistant built into it from Amazon. And whenever I came back to work, I left that at home because, my mom was using it. They were still there whenever I left. And so she was using it, so I just went ahead and left it. But I think I'm going to go ahead, whenever I go back to work after I take the next time off, whenever I come back to work, I will bring that with me, because it'll work just fine, because I have Wi-Fi from Verizon. So that will work just fine with the MiFi unit, because I've already tried that out when I first set the thing up. And so I'll bring that with me. And one of the reasons I want to do that is because Amazon sent an email. Of course, they know I have an Alexa unit. They sent an email saying that, hey, Alexa can read your Kindle books to you. That's actually going to be very useful, because there's been a number of books that I wanted to buy. I heard about, someone told me about, or I heard about, I heard the author interviewed or whatever. There's been a number of books that, of course, the first thing I do is look on, because I have the one book per month from Audible, that's the first thing I do is look it up to see if the book might be available. And a surprising amount of the time, it's not. Now, virtually every book is going to be available on the Kindle. And so this actually will be a very useful feature, and then I can, start buying Kindle books when I want to get a particular book. I can just buy the Kindle book version and listen to it just as if it was an Audible audiobook. One of the nice things about the Amazon Alexa unit is that it has a very natural sounding voice. There's a YouTube video that I watched that compared like the Siri, Apple's Siri voice, and what else did they compare? They had the Google Assistant voice, or at least the female versions, and then the Amazon Alexa. The Echo, Amazon Echo with the Alexa voice assistant. And they compared the three, and the Siri one, surprisingly, the Siri voice is the most robotic. And then the Google voice is more natural. But the best one of all is the Alexa voice. It doesn't sound robotic at all. It sounds very lifelike, and I think it will do a great job. In fact, I know it will, because I looked for videos of people demonstrating the Alexa voice reading the Kindle books, and it sounds quite natural. And it the problem with some of the others, if you have like Siri, or you have the let's say on your iPad or even on your Android phone, if you have the voiceover feature turned on, then it will, you can get those things to read you the text on the screen. But then the problem is that it puts in every comma and every period and every question mark. It spells it out. And I don't want that. I just want the thing to read to me kind of naturally. I don't need the punctuation. I don't need it to read me the punctuation. I just want it to read me a book, or whatever book. And it can be, one of the other things with the Kindle is that it will, obviously you buy the books from Amazon, because Amazon owns not only Audible but Kindle as well. And so it will read the Kindle books that you buy. But then also, the other nice thing, you can add books, public domain books, and I've done that actually in the past. You can add books to the Kindle app, and then it will actually there really shouldn't be any reason at all why it wouldn't be able to read those books as well, because they get synced to the Amazon server, they're in the Amazon cloud. So that's going to be very nice. So I think I'm going to go ahead and bring that Amazon Alexa with me. The only thing I have to figure out, because I'll be kind of standing it up, it's a cylinder, and it's only about 3.5 inches in diameter, the cylinder is. It's about 9.5 inches tall. Excuse me. So I'll have to figure out a way of mounting that thing in the seat so that it kind of stays put, you know, instead of just standing it there and then hoping that it kind of stays put. One of the things I might be able to do, it just depends, might be able to put that in like a cup holder, you know, like one that's designed for a big, you know, one of those big cups. Might be able to do that. Now, just kind of, yeah, now that might interfere with the power connector. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Not sure about that. Now, the only problem with bringing it with me, then I might want it also at home, and then when I'd go home, I'd have to take it out of the truck and put it in the house. So I don't know what I might do then. Would be maybe kind of silly is get a second unit. Just, you know, one for the truck, one for the house. So I don't know if I'll do that or not. At least not initially. Maybe not at all. It's not that big of a problem carrying the thing in. It's, you know, it's just one extra thing to carry in. Most of the things I just have duplicated in the truck. And then that way I don't have to carry a bunch of stuff in and out when I go home. The only thing that I really carry in and out, I might, you know, bring this. Obviously, I bring this Microsoft Surface in. I'll bring it in to the house. And my laundry and my telephone, but I have an AC adapter here in the truck that I plug into the inverter. I leave that in here, and then I also have one at home, and then I can, you know, I just leave that and it's there, and then I don't have to bother with bringing the adapter and, you know, kind of carting it in and out as well, you know. And, you know, the reason that I would have to do that is, or, you know, because the adapter is the fast charger. You know, while the phone will work on the slow charger adapters, you know, it's much more convenient if, you know, with the fast one, because it's, you know, the Note 4 will, on the fast adapter from Samsung, will charge, 0 to 50% in 30 minutes. And so there's times when it's, you know, just you plug that in for just a few minutes and really goose it up. Not necessarily if it's just a little bit low, like when I'm going to go into a restaurant or something, I can plug the thing in just for a few minutes and really get the percentage up. You know, not necessarily try to charge it to full 100%, but I can goose it up, give it quite a bit of percentage in just a few minutes. So that's very handy to be able to do that. Obviously then I carry my laundry in and, odds and ends like that. So, and then once I've done the laundry, then I'll bring it back out to the truck, before, you know, maybe a day or two before, you know, kind of or when I get it done, and then that way I don't have to try to do it, or, you know, do it all at the last minute. I try to, you know, it makes a huge difference if I just bring the, you know, once the laundry's washed and dried, and, you know, I've kind of got it figured out what I'm going to take back with me, then it's a whole lot easier if I just go ahead and bring it back out to the truck. Make a few trips out to the truck here and there, and while I'm at home, And that makes a huge difference on the day that I have to leave. Then, you know, there's just a very few items that I have to bring back to the truck, and then I usually walk through the house and make sure that I'm not forgetting something. But I don't even, you know, do, you know, as far as toothbrush, toothpaste, dental floss, all that kind of stuff is duplicated. There's some in the house, there's some in the truck. So I don't have to, all of that kind of thing, I don't have to mess with. So, but, so anyway, my plans are kind of moving along. I'm at this, as I've said before, right now I'm trying to fix the house up as much as possible and kind of repair or replace anything that I think needs repaired or replaced. While I'm still, obviously, before I retire or think about retiring, if I retire, soon be, 61 in April, and April's not that far away, and although right now I don't really have any definite plans, you know, I could, if I was going to retire, you know, kind of depending on how it went, I might do it at age 66 and a half, which is, at this point, is really only about 5 years away, you know, or at, what was it, 66 plus 2 months, so it would be 60, April, May, June. Let's see. So I figured it was about 5.5 years. So it's about roughly 5.5 years I could retire and still receive the full benefit, Social Security benefit. So I may do that. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, or I could. But I want to keep my options open. And I want to get myself out of debt, save money in the meantime, and... So I kind of figure that I can get myself completely out of debt probably within, certainly, you know, maybe a year and a half to 2 years, I can wipe all any debt that I've got, just wipe it out. Without having to alter my lifestyle at all. And then at that point, if I continue working, then I just continue to save, once the debt's paid off, save that money that I've been, that I was paying the debt off with. But in any case, I want to get myself, get the house in as good a shape as I can and get myself in as good a position financially as I can. And in that way, should something go wrong with my health, for example, or where I had to do something, or I couldn't work anymore, if just in case, because, stuff can happen. I don't expect it to happen. But on the other hand, stuff happens, obviously. So, I just want to get myself in a better position, or as good a position as I possibly can. And then kind of go from there. But at this point, health is fine. Work seems to be going pretty well. And I have no reason to believe that is going to be changing anytime soon. But... as I say, on the other hand, I'm not getting any younger, and it's silly to pretend that as I age, that things couldn't go wrong, because obviously they can go wrong. So it's best just to better to be prepared. Expect the worst, kind of like backing up your computer. You want to back your computer up, hoping, with the idea that even if you think you'll never need the backup, you're better off backing it up, because if you don't back it up, you will need a backup and you won't have it. But it's been my experience that most of the time, if you back a computer up, you won't need the backup. But there's been a time or two where I did need the backup. But if you don't back it up, then or if something's gone wrong with your backup, or it's been a long time since you backed it up, then, you know, something goes wrong, and it will go wrong if you keep, you know, if these devices will mess up. They're not infallible. So if something does go wrong, then, you know, if you've got plenty of backups, and then, you know, you really haven't lost much, or if anything at all. So just want to, you know, be in a better position, and why not? You know, that's what just makes good sense. So, kind of speaking of good sense, you know, I don't know. Here a while back, I was thinking about, you know, there's this phrase in the Bible: man does not live by bread alone. Now, what does that mean? Man does not live by bread alone. It goes on to say, man does not live by bread alone, but how does that go? But by every word out of the mouth of God, or something to that effect. That's probably paraphrasing it a little bit. What does that mean? What does that really, where the rubber meets the road, what does that mean? Well, it actually means what it says. But most people, I think, you know, if you don't, you can take that kind of sort of in a religiosity sense, or you just hear that and you think, oh, it means that it's the words out of the Bible. The Bible is the word of God, and so therefore you have to keep reading those words of God, meaning the Bible. And that's really not what it means. What it actually means, you know, the bread part, obviously they could be referring to money, but because the Bible does refer to money as bread a lot, you know, and bread is usually synonymous with money, you know, even in slang terms. But in this case, I think they're meaning food. You know, you need food for your body, but man does not live by bread alone. Man is different. Your dog lives by bread alone. Your cat obviously lives by bread alone, or food alone. You know, a whale or a dolphin, or all of those things live by food alone. But man does not live by food alone. As you can just paraphrase that, change the word. Man does not live by food alone. But what does it mean? But by every word out of the mouth of God. What does that mean? What that really means is that we as human beings we're designed to also be able to listen to, but it's more than that, be sustained by, be animated by whatever it is that brought us into existence. Of course, that's God. And what it really means is that we have to learn to be still. There's another line, be still and know that I am God. One thing that's kind of confused me, you know, you look at the Ten Commandments, and one thing that I've always found a little bit confusing is the idea of a Sabbath day. And of course, people have taken that literally over the years, and so you have a Sabbath day, you have a whole day set aside where you're not supposed to work, and, you know, why would that be? You know, and do you have to rigidly follow that? And the answer, I think, is no, you don't have to rigidly follow it necessarily. But what it, at the core, what it really means is that you should set aside time. And it shouldn't be just a special day necessarily. That's fine if you want to set aside a whole day to be still. But you should set aside regular time to, no matter how busy you are or how stressed you think you are, you should set aside time to be still. God is always trying to kind of catch up with us. You can almost think of it as a sort of an invisible, almost a pressure that it's not coming, it's coming from somehow coming from within us. There's this pressure that's there, and of course we end up usually relating to it as a guilty, kind of a guilty conscience, because it's the kind of pressure that makes us, you know, kind of makes us feel anxiety. By the way, I've used the word guilt quite a bit, and I think I'm going to change that to, because a lot of people just think, you know, they can't relate to guilt very much, but I think I'm going to start using the word anxiety. I think that's a better word in many instances, because people do feel anxiety. For example, you know, I was talking about, you know, I've got this, it's actually a relative that, you know, he ended up, you know, kind of, I think he had a girlfriend on the side, and then, you know, and then he ended up divorcing his wife and then marrying the girlfriend. And then now, what they're saying is that he's gained a bunch of weight, and you know, I was talking with my parents about that while I was, you know, taking my vacation. That was one of the things we ended up talking about one day, briefly, and it's pretty obvious to me that why would he begin to gain weight suddenly? You know, and then, of course, the excuse is, well, the new wife's feeding him too well. And he's under lots of stress with his job or whatever. Well, it's obvious to me that what he's done, first of all, he's committing adultery, you know, and this has been over the past for several years. He was committing adultery for a while, and things were kind of going along. And then finally he decided for the second time that, because he'd already left his first wife once. Well, actually that was his second wife, but that was the one that he had kids with. He had left her once, and then he got some kind of bad medical problems, and he begged her to take him back, and so she took him back. And then a few years later, you know, now he ended up committing the adultery and ultimately divorcing his wife, you know, divorcing that wife. And then, of course, one of his kids, I think, kind of accepts it. And then the other one, is, you know, rejects the whole idea. You know, obviously, what has happened has happened, but that's created, you know, he's got anxiety, obviously. You know, that's pretty obvious to me that he's created a situation that he's, whatever anxiety he had, he's made it a lot worse. And so what do you do when you have anxiety? Well, one of the things you can do all kinds of different things. There's all kinds of different ways to try to get rid of the anxiety, distract yourself away from the anxiety. And one of the giant ways that people use is food. Everybody, I believe, has a food problem. We all have a food problem. If you go back to the Adam and Eve story, how did Adam commit the original sin? He ate something that he wasn't supposed to. So, you know, we, by extension, we, the offspring of Adam and Eve, born in sin, we have a food problem by default. And even if we didn't, we would quickly figure it out ourselves. We would quickly end up, if I was Adam, I would have done the same thing. Guarantee you. Because the temptation was too great. So, but it's anxiety. People have anxiety, all kinds of anxiety. And there's a myriad. You can abuse anything. You can take anything and use it as a means, as a sort of a vehicle to get rid of anxiety. But the answer is to just stop and allow that anxiety, which you perceive as anxiety, allow it to catch up with you. Allow it, whatever is behind that anxiety, allow that to catch up with you. Whatever pressure that is, allow that to catch up with you. And you do that by being still. Now, if you go to my website, truckertompodcast.com, up at the top there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. And I think I've got about 4 files that are hosted on my server. They're MP3 files. You can listen to them on your computer, your phone, mobile device, whatever it is you have. Right click, download them to your device, burn them onto a CD. However you want to do it, those will teach you a very simple meditation technique. And it's just a very simple way, but it's just deceptively simple way of learning how to be still. And you don't have to do it for hours and hours and hours at a time. You don't have to try to do that for a whole day. That would be silly. Let's say 10 to 20 minutes, especially when you're starting out, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe a couple, at least 2 or 3 times a day. Really try to do it. Don't, you got to do it. You got to continue to do it. And a fascinating thing, typically with most people, if you really give it a try, a fascinating thing's going to happen. The anxiety that you were feeling goes away. But you can't do it. If you find that it helps you, if you find that your anxiety goes away, you got to continue doing it. Don't mess around. Keep doing it. As I say, at least twice a day, 2 to 3 times a day. And you need to learn how to do it on your own you can do it with the MP3 files when you're learning to do it. Ultimately, you want to learn how to do it on your own, and so then you can do it anywhere, at any time. It's simply, but it's amazing. You just allow whatever that spirit is, whatever that pressure is, allow that to catch up with you. This meditation technique, it's very simple. It's a very simple way of learning to separate yourself from your thoughts. Whatever you are as a human being, whatever I am as a human being, whatever we are as human beings, one of the things we have, we have this point of awareness. We can only really, you know, be aware of one thing at a time. And typically we're caught up in thoughts. We're a slave to our thoughts, and the same old thoughts go around and around and around like a rat in a little squirrel cage that goes nowhere. You can't, you know, some meditation techniques try to, you know, you got to stop your thoughts or whatever. You can't do that. That's wrong. You want to separate yourself from your thoughts. And so this meditation technique is a very simple way of doing that. And once you begin to practice that, it's quite remarkable, because that's really in the present moment. If you can just be aware, bring your point of awareness to the present moment, just for a few seconds at a time, it ends up having a profound effect, because that's where your creator is. Not in the past, not in the future, not in your thoughts, but in the present moment. And so that's what the Bible means when it says man does not live by bread alone. Because if you're separated from that, sure, the physical body continues to live, at least for a while, maybe a long while. Then you start getting all kinds of diseases and God knows whatever else, and then you try to compensate. You eat this food and take that drug, drink alcohol, overeat, oversex. As a compensation, and you feel empty. Why do you feel empty? Why do you feel, many people have a feeling, way more than you realize, there's a lot of people that just, they feel empty. It doesn't matter how much money they have in the bank or how many goodies they have. They're empty. And they may run to their favorite group of people to try to take the emptiness away. Ultimately, it doesn't work. Why do you feel empty? Because you've actually been tricked into running away from the very thing, whatever it is, it's invisible, it's your creator. You've been tricked into running away from the very thing that would fill that emptiness. So that's what it means. I watch a lot of documentaries, and one of the topics that I'm absolutely fascinated by is physics, and in particular quantum physics. And of course, there's all kinds of ideas about what is matter. What does matter consist of? What is matter made out of? Of course, it's made out of energy, but then what is energy? You get down to a certain level, a certain very small level, and everything becomes kind of fuzzy. If you get down to the atomic level, you get down to the level of the particles that make the atoms, everything becomes very fuzzy. And very difficult to pinpoint. And if you get a deep understanding of what creates matter, you have strong force, weak force, magnetism, gravity. If you have a deep understanding of that, it becomes really silly for these people that are claiming to be scientists, the scientific method, etc., etc., and it becomes quite silly to somehow believe that life simply arose from nothing. It just kind of happened somehow. Somehow you have a Big Bang, and then 13.5 billion years or however long later, you have high-rise buildings and Mercedes Benzes. Or you have Boeing 787s. Now, how does that happen? How did that happen? Did it just happen at random somehow? Lightning struck a primordial soup? I don't think so. Matter itself has a very strange nature. So if you think about it, the very particles, the electrons, protons, that make up the atoms of our bodies are actually traveling at the speed of light. And yet somehow they're trapped in matter, in a form, and of course the matter seems solid. But you have these particles, and the particles are simply you have you know, like particle fields. Have these different particles. Of course, the latest one that they found, the most recent one, they finally found that Higgs boson. You know, and they're talking about a Higgs boson field. Now, what do they mean by a field? Well, you know, each one of these is actually a vibration. It's an electromagnetic vibration. So somehow, all we're supposed to believe that all of this stuff just happened, and you know, and of course, the reason they want that, the reason so many people want to believe that it just, you know, evolution just happened, we just kind of came into existence for some random reason we came into existence, or then they'll say, well, we think that, you know, the in this universe, and they try to say there's a, you know, bunch of, you know, endless number of universes, and of course you can't prove that. No way of proving that, ever, I don't think. That this one was the one that just the perfect conditions happened, and it somehow all of this stuff just magically happened. It was just so, and we won the lottery. I don't think so. Nothing good comes out of lotteries. Listen to the last podcast. As I've said many times, if you were God and you wanted to create a creature that could actually be conscious of you, be conscious of your creation, and actually want to be that creature, and in other words, would actually love you as a creator, how would you do that? You would have to give that creature a choice. Your dog doesn't have a choice. It's never going to be anything other than a dog. Your cat doesn't have a choice. It's never going to be anything other than a cat. Your tree doesn't have a choice. It's never going to be anything other than a tree. But a human being is a very different kind of a creature. And it's much more than just more intelligence. We have this extra, whatever it is, this extra awareness. And this extra awareness, you know, man does not live by bread alone. This extra awareness is how we feed. Really, feed from the hand of God. It's invisible. And if that's missing from your existence, you're empty. Why do you think so many people have anxiety? Why are so many people taking drugs, you know, Xanax and, you know, Prozac, God knows whatever else? Why do so many people commit suicide? They're empty. So go to my website, give that a try. Can't promise it's going to help everybody, but I do believe it'll help most people. TruckerTomPodcast.com, link at the top, meditation. Give it a try. So one of the things that happened while I was, or towards the tail end of my vacation, I can't remember if I talked about this or in a recent podcast since I came back to work or not. There haven't been very many podcasts. I think this is like a third one maybe since I came back to work. Sorry about that. But anyway, while the towards the tail end of my vacation, I was starting to what I, you know, I later determined I was starting to have an allergic reaction. Is what was happening. Now, it was different from the allergic reaction I had before, a couple of years ago, if you've listened. I had this allergic reaction to poison ivy. You know, I decided one day that, you know, it was in the summer a couple of years ago, and I decided, well, by golly, I'm going to clean this. I had this little fence, and it was next to where I parked my pickup at. And by golly, I was just going to clean that all up because it was all overgrown, and so I wasn't paying attention. And of course, there was it was just full of poison ivy, and I, you know, was just grabbing the stuff and chopping and so on. Then got it all kind of cleaned out, and then next, I think like next day or the day after, I woke up and I realized, hey, I'm starting to get hives. I have this allergic reaction going on. So it wasn't quite like that. Didn't get any hives. But what I did have, I had some similar kind of symptoms. My, especially underneath my eyes, you know, it started kind of filling with fluid. Now when I had when I was having that allergic reaction with the poison ivy, my eyes actually, they didn't swell shut, but they swelled pretty good. They were, you know, they looked pretty bad. I got to the point I didn't even look like myself. But in this case, that was starting to swell. It didn't, you know, and I could tell that they were swollen. And in fact, there were, you know, parts of it where they were swollen was a little sore. And then it got to where my, if I made a fist, I could, you know, even though I didn't have any hives, I could make a fist, kind of like when I had the poison ivy reaction, and I could really, it's kind of hard to describe, but there's extra fluid in my skin, obviously, because that's usually what causes the hives, but I had extra fluid, and so I would make a fist with either hand, and you know, I'd feel kind of like this, it's kind of hard to describe the sensation, but, you know, it was like you could feel that there's just extra stuff there. Extra fluid there, because it just, you know, it had a different, completely different feeling. So, then I realized, hey, that I've got an allergic reaction going on. So, that was right before I came back to work. So, I came back to work. And I thought, well, it's probably going to go away. And the first couple of days, it really didn't go away. And I thought, well, what's going on? What am I doing? And so then I thought popped into my head, well, maybe it's the Coke Zero. Maybe you've become allergic to the Coke Zero. Or to the, you know, perhaps one of the ingredients. So I bought a case of water, and I stopped drinking the Coke Zero. And after about 24 hours, the swelling began to go away, and so it's gone now. It's been gone now for several days. Actually, yeah, I don't know how long, but That's been gone at least a week or more. So, pretty sure that's what it is. And so I, you know, of course, with the Coke Zero or any, almost any diet beverage now, they're using artificial sweetener called aspartame. But the brand name is NutraSweet. And I think that's probably the ingredient, although it could be there are other ingredients in that I'm not, you know, there's a bunch of other ingredients. But that's probably the most suspect. I looked it up on, I looked it up on Google, and there are people that are claiming that they become allergic to NutraSweet. So that's something, you know, that I'll certainly have to keep in mind. Now I've experimented. Now, you know, usually I use, if I go in a restaurant and I get, let's say I order unsweetened tea, then I'll, or hot tea, then I'll use Sweet and Low, the product called Sweet and Low, which is actually, that's the main ingredient is saccharin. And saccharin, a lot of people don't like the way saccharin tastes, but saccharin, I can, you know, have the saccharin and that's fine, no problem, not causing a problem. So I'm pretty sure it's probably the aspartame or the NutraSweet. So I just, from now on, no more diet drinks at all. And no more, you know, whenever I go in a restaurant, I want to have to make sure that they've got saccharin. If otherwise, I'll just drink milk or water or something. Yeah, probably either milk or water. So in the truck here, I'm just buying bottled water. In the past, I've never really been enamored with the idea of buying, you know, spending so much on bottled water. But on the other hand, I have to have something to drink. And the bottled water is, I have to admit, it's pretty convenient. So, oh well. And it's actually, what I'm finding is that I'm, you know, although I'm trying to drink plenty of bottled water, you know, I want to stay hydrated, don't want to cause problems otherwise, you know, by not drinking enough liquids. But what I'm finding is that's actually quite a bit cheaper than the diet soda was, because I was buying a thing of diet soda, you know, either every day or every other day anyway, or at least every other day. And now I've, you know, I've just buy the bottled water, and so far, well, the first case I bought of it, I drank all of that, and then when I was in upstate New York, I don't know, about a week ago, they didn't have, usually the cheapest kind to get is the Nestle waters, and that's usually the least expensive. But all they had this big case of, Dasani, I guess that's how it's pronounced. They had a whole case of it, like 24 bottles of Dasani water, and they charged me, what was it? It was like 20, probably about $1 a bottle. I think it was about $22 or $24. So I went ahead and paid it, and actually I'm still drinking that. Still got, I've gone through over half of it. I got about a third of it left. So bottled water it is. It's not as exciting as the, or as tasty as the diet soda, but on the other hand, it's probably better anyway. Because the diet soda really is a diuretic, and I drank a lot of it. I drank it for years, literally years, and I don't know when they, I don't remember, I guess I could research and find out when all those companies switched to NutraSweet, because they used to use saccharin, and I think there's another one that's sucralose. It's probably a relative of saccharin. I don't know if I'm allergic to sucralose or not. That's the other one. You have the if you go in a restaurant, you got the pink stuff, which is usually saccharin, Sweet and Low is the brand that's associated with that. And then you have the yellow stuff is sucralose. And then, of course, the blue, you know, anything in the little blue, kind of the bluish package is NutraSweet. So anytime I'm going in a restaurant, before I order whatever it is I'm going to drink, I make sure they got saccharin. Or otherwise, I'm going to either order milk or water. But that's something to keep in mind, because there are things that you can be fine with. And then if you get too much of it, there are certain things that can trigger, you become an allergic reaction. You know, kind of a systemic allergic reaction. And that's what this was that I was experiencing. So that's something to keep in mind. But, you know, years ago when I first started wearing contact lenses, this would have been back in the 80s, early 80s. When they first came out with the soft contact lenses, they had the saline solution that had the preservative they used was called thimerosal. And, you know, the first year or two, no problem, worked just fine. But then I started having a problem, and I started getting kind of an allergic reaction in my eyes. You know, they were all itchy and red, what have you. And I went to this ophthalmologist, and he said, well, you got some kind of an infection, and he gave me some kind of antibiotic drops, and it really didn't work very well. And then I ended up having to go to my optometrist, and the optometrist instantly knew what it was, and he said, well, you're allergic to the thimerosal. That's a preservative in the saline solution. You have to use this other stuff. And at that point they were using, you know, it had a different brand, and it was using some sort of a citric, you know, like a some citrus thing as the preservative. And of course nowadays they've got, you know, they've improved that dramatically, you know, as far as those chemicals. If you're going to, you know, for contact lenses, you got all-in-one solutions. And, you know, they're no problem at all. But that thimerosal, what they found, that after a couple of years, I don't know what the percentage was, but a lot of people would end up becoming allergic to it. So there are certain things that you can become allergic to anything, obviously. But there are certain things that if you get too much of, or just a buildup of, that it can trigger an allergic reaction. And I think that this NutraSweet may in fact be one of them. Anyway, that's what I'm going to blame this on. Because as I say, it's gone away, and not having a problem. So that's what I'm going to lay it at the feet of. So no more sodas or diet sodas, and I haven't drank regular soda in years. Of course, it's packed full of sugar the corn syrup. With sugar, it's all the same thing. So just staying completely away from that, and just either water, or if I, you know, as I say, if I drink unsweetened tea or hot tea, then make sure that I've got saccharin. Saccharin's not a problem. So anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and wind this up. Hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.